ויש להבין מהו עניין עבודה קשה.
We should understand the meaning of hard work and lack of spirit. In other words, what is the connection between hard work and lack of spirit in the work? We should also understand what Rabbi Shimon interprets about the lack of spirit with regards to Malchut. What is the connection to hard work? It is known that the order of the work in the work of the Creator is that a person should work to provide himself with vessels in which he will be able to receive the delight and pleasure that the Creator contemplated giving to the creatures. It is known that the reason for the creation of the worlds was his desire to do good to his creations. Because of this, he created in the creatures a desire and yearning to receive delight and pleasure. In the desire and yearning for the pleasure, we measure the taste of the pleasure, meaning that to the extent of the yearning for something from which he thinks he will receive pleasure, so is the measure of enjoyment. For this reason, smallness or greatness of the pleasure of a person are measured by the measure of the yearning for the pleasure in that thing. Accordingly, from where do the discernments of the recipients of the pleasure come? After all, they were all created with a desire to receive for themselves. So who makes one feel little pleasure and another great pleasure? That is, what fool would want to receive little pleasure where he can receive much pleasure? But because the Creator wanted to bring to light the perfection of his deeds, meaning that doing good to his creations means complete giving, meaning that when he receives the delight and pleasure, he will not feel any unpleasantness, namely shame. As it is written, one who eats that which is not his is afraid to look at his face. Hence, the restriction and concealment on the vessels of reception was installed, which are vessels that man was created with them by nature.
Aleph, שלא יכולים לקבל בהכלים האלו שום שפע דקדושה.
In other words, there are two matters about this. One, we cannot receive any abundance of Kedusha in these vessels. Two, as long as one has not acquired vessels of bestowal, he does not see the delight and pleasure found in Kedusha, and he cannot perceive the taste of pleasure except the tiny illumination that was given to the klipot, to the shells, so they can exist. Out of these sparks that fell into the klipot come all the corporeal pleasures. This is revealed to all, meaning that the pleasure is revealed, namely, that each one can taste these pleasures with the vessels of reception, which wants to receive pleasure for their own benefit. Conversely, the delight and pleasure of Kedusha, where there are the majority of pleasures that he wanted to impart upon the creatures, this is hidden from the vessels of reception. This is called vessels of bestowal. According to the above, we know what is man's work. It is work only to obtain vessels of bestowal. That is, a person should come to a state where everything that does not concern the benefit of the Creator does not interest him. Instead, his only desire is to come to a state where he can bring contentment to his Maker. Hence, when a person begins the work, he begins in lo lishma, meaning for his own sake. Afterward, he begins to understand that the fact that he is working lo lishma is only a sgula, a remedy, by which to achieve lishma. As our sages said, from lo lishma we come to lishma, since the light in it reforms him. And he believes that in the end he will achieve lishma. Afterward, a person goes another step forward and begins to exert. He does things that will bring him to lishma, meaning he begins to understand that one must take actions and intend that these actions will bring him to the level of lishma. And he calculates to himself how much he has already been rewarded with the matters of lishma. At that time, he begins to see the truth, how far he is from the work of bestowal. With each time, he sees more how immersed he is only in self-love. He sees that each day he is regressing, and then his work, where he wants to work in order to bestow, is called hard work. This is so for two reasons. One, now he sees what in order to bestow means. A person must believe in our sages that the fact that he now sees what is for the sake of the Creator, he did not know its true meaning. Rather, as we explained about the words of the Zohar about the verse, or make his sin known to him. He asks, who made it known to him? And he replies, the Creator. We should interpret that when a person feels how far he is from the work of bestowal, and that he is immersed in self-love, this is a revelation from above. Now, this work becomes harder, meaning that once he was notified from above the meaning of for the sake of the Creator and not for his own sake, now his work has become harder. However, a person thinks that now he has become worse than when he began the work in order to bestow, as though he himself has become worse now. At that time, a person must believe that this is not so. Rather, he advances toward the truth by the Creator notifying him his real situation. But when he sees that after some time of exerting in the job, not only did he not progress, but he even regressed. His body tells him, you're wasting energy in this occupation. This job is not for you. This job requires special skills and a brave heart. Therefore, go and find another occupation, like everyone else, and do not be an exception. It follows that this is called hard work, since in any work, when he wants to exert and walk on the work of bestowing, the body does not let him work by resisting him with just arguments. And indeed, within reason, it is absolutely right. It follows that the slander he hears from his body makes the work heavy on him, which is why it is called hard work. However, the person should believe that in truth he is making progress. And the reason he sees that each time he is more immersed in self-love and that now he is worse off, meaning in a state of lowliness that is worse than when he began the work of bestowal, is because, for I have hardened his heart.
Hainu, kanal, שהשם מגלה לו כל פעם מהו שלא לעבוד לתועלת.
In other words, the Creator shows him each time what it means not to work for one's own benefit, but only for the sake of the Creator. By the Creator letting a person know the meaning of not working for himself. By this, one sees how this is truly against nature. Since man was created with a desire to receive for his own sake. And now he wants to do something that is against nature. This is why it is called hard work. Yet the question is, why does the Creator notify him the truth that a person is unable to work against nature? This is because, as it is written, that I may place these signs of mine within him. That is, by revealing all the bad within a person, the Creator can give help. As our sages said, he who comes to purify is aided. And since what is given from above is a complete thing, a person must have a complete kli, meaning a complete lack, called a complete kli, in which the whole of the light may enter. It follows that the Creator reveals the bad to a person in order to help him. That is, since there is no light without a kli, therefore when the bad is not revealed to the fullest, he still does not have a complete kli. We can interpret complete kli to mean complete desire for either. Hence, when a person exerts in the work of bestowal, the powers he has invested to not let him escape the campaign. And each time, he gets a greater need for the help of the Creator. It follows that the hard work itself was the cause that he would cry out to the Creator to help him. This is similar to what is presented in the Zohar. There are two ways in the corporeal and spiritual afflictions he had prior to repenting. This is similar to what is presented in the Zohar. There are two ways in the corporeal and spiritual afflictions he had prior to repenting. One, all the Creator does, he does for the best, He sees that were it not for the terrible pains that he had suffered for being immersed in the nature of reception for himself, he would never have been rewarded with repentance. Therefore, he blesses for the bad as he blesses for the good, since without the bad, he would not have been rewarded with the good. It follows that all that the merciful one does, he does for the best, meaning they induce good. Two, that too is for the best. Meaning, not only did the evils that were done induce good, but the evils themselves have been inverted into good through their great lights and the Creator illuminated through all those evils until they were inverted into good. Therefore, we see that specifically when all the bad is revealed, there is a complete kli in which a complete light can shine. From the above, we see why the Creator hardened his heart, meaning that the heart, called desire, resisted the work of bestowal more forcefully each time. The reason is that we need hard work, for only through suffering of hard work, these sufferings induce an outcry to the Creator with a complete desire, that he will help him emerge from the rule of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. The rule of self-love. Therefore, when a person has this faith, he does not escape from the campaign. Meaning says that he sees that the Creator does not hear his prayer. So there is no one to reply to. Rather, he believes that the Creator does hear his prayer, and the Creator has given him the awareness to know what lowliness one is in, that it never occurred to him that he would be so immersed in self-love. Hence, each time he braces himself and does not move from praying to the Creator. He says, the Creator must want a true desire to appear in me, which will deliver me from this exile. Then, he does not stop thanking the Creator for revealing to him his true state. Also, he stands and prays to the Creator, since he sees that the Creator hears a prayer, in that he showed him the evil, and he will certainly also help him out of the evil, which is called redemption. In other words, he believes that the Creator let him see that he is in exile, and will certainly deliver him from it. The procession of ascents and descents continue until a true need for the nearing of the Creator appears within a person, meaning that the kli called desire has been completed in all of its correct form. Yet it is the Creator who knows when it is completed, and a person cannot know this. At that time, the Creator gives the help and delivers the person from
exile.
Now we can understand what we asked about how the Zohar interprets the words, and Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, meaning the annunciation of the redemption. But they did not listen to Moses for lack of spirit and for hard work, He says, lack of spirit means malchut, who was unable to save Israel. We should interpret that the main work is in the malchut, as the Ari says, that the exile in Egypt was that the view of Kedusha was in exile. That is, the kingdom of heaven, that we must accept the burden of the kingdom of heaven because he is great and ruling, meaning not in order to receive a reward, but that the work must be a great pleasure because one has been rewarded with serving the king because of the importance of the king. This was in exile. In other words, the importance of Kedusha was not revealed. This is called Shechina in dust, meaning that when a person should take upon himself to work for the sake of the Creator, this work is regarded as lowliness, since he finds in this no taste of importance. It follows that by Malchut's being in the dust, which is something that is not important, this made it hard work. It is called lack of spirit, meaning that Malchut, which is an important thing, meaning that one who serves the king is regarded as one who sees the face of the king, who sit first in the kingdom. Among these people, it is not considered that they are dwelling with the king and they are regarded as seeing the Creator. For they have a lack of spirit, meaning they are not high-spirited. However, when Malchut is in exile under the governance of the Klipot, they regard Malchut as dust, unimportant. This is called lack of spirit. When Malchut cannot give high spirits, as one should feel when dwelling with the king. It follows that lack of spirit and hard work are tied to one another. This means that if Malchut is in the dust, unimportant, this causes hard work. Because something that is tasteless, each moment when one overcomes and works, this overcoming is very difficult, and a person cannot always overcome. This is the meaning of what he says, the last spirit, which is Malchut, still did not rule the world to instill upright laws. Meaning that Malchut still did not have governance, so everyone would see that all the laws that come from her are upright laws. Meaning that everything will be in accord and each one will feel Malchut, called providence, as good and doing good. Since the world follows her leadership, as it is written, and his kingship rules over all, this was still not revealed. This is the meaning of the words, hence there was a lack of spirit. And which spirit is it? It is Malchut, who was unable to save Israel. This means that since this Malchut was still in exile, she could not save Israel. But when she is delivered from exile, it is to the contrary. She gives man the spirit so that he is high-spirited. Therefore, when Moses came and announced the annunciation of the redemption, they could not believe such a thing, meaning that they would be delivered from the exile in Egypt. As it is written, "And I will bring you out from under the afflictions of Egypt, and I will save you from their work."
אלא אפילו סתם עבודה לא תהיה לכם. את זה לא היו יכולים להאמין איך יכול להיות...
But when she is delivered from exile, he is in high-spirited. Therefore, when Moses came and announced the annunciation, there's such a thing, they would be delivered from the exile in Egypt, as it is written, "And I will bring you out from under the afflictions of Egypt, and I will save you from their work." That is, they will not work, not only have no hard work, but they will not have any work at all. This they could not believe, that such a thing could be. Had they believed it, then the power of faith they would have come out from the exile, Malchut, which is called spirit, would have risen in importance. As it is written, "Who knows the spirit of the sons of men, if it ascends upward? And the spirit of the beast, if it descends down to the earth." We should interpret the spirits of sons of men to mean that after he emerges from his beast and becomes a man, as our sages said, "You are called man." The spirit, meaning Malchut, who is called spirit, ascends, rises in importance. But the quality of spirit in a beast, when a person is in a state of beastliness, for him the spirit descends in importance. Hence, the people of Israel had to reveal their evil so they would have a complete lack. For then, the complete help could come. This is why the children of Israel still did not hear.
So he escapes.
Again, what he describes here, that a person feels difficulty in the work, hard work, that he's not succeeding and he doesn't see any hope to succeed, etc. And then he says, we need to believe that. And that's the solution. Where does that "we need to believe" come from?
Needs to accept that even if he feels, sees, thinks that it is such and such, but according to the plan of creation, it seems like it's different.
Within what does he receive this when his heart and mind see something opposite? All the explanations and the rationale is opposite here. The request is impossible.
Yes.
So within what does he receive this believe thing?
Above reason. Even though I feel that it is truly the case, according to my own opinion, according to my feeling. But I need to accept it as in a different way.
And what is this above reason? What is this vessel within which we receive this faith?
Meaning not within reason, as I understand, think, and feel that within my reason, but above my reason.
Meaning he can discern that it's opposite what he has.
Yes.
Even though he doesn't know what that is, he just, with certainty, he knows that it's not all that he sees and feels.
I know that in that I think this way, It is according to my reason, my opinion, and that is an animal-like thing. And if I want to rise to a higher degree, I need to rise above my reason.
What uplifts me?
Intellect and reason are things that I don't need to believe in.
Yes, that's clear. That's in our world. And then there's something that's above reason.
Above reason is a higher degree?
Yes, a higher degree. I'm asking what will let me rise to that degree? With what force? What lifts me up there?
What I call, especially what I read, especially in these writings of Rabash, and that I really want to rise to that degree.
I
have no basis in reality to believe that it's like that. I have no, nothing to rely on that it's like that. But I read that it's like that because Rabash explains it like that and the Kabbalists explain it that way. And then what? What happens? What am I supposed to do? What's the action I do there?
You are supposed to accept what he writes as a true thing, and what you feel and think is false.
And what's the action
to replace one with the other?
But it's like deception here.
I don't know about deception, but it's what it is here.
And then what will happen? Let's say I did it for a moment. I did it.
And then when you replace your perception, your vessels, you will feel that that is truly how nature behaves.
I understood. So there's some leap here that's opposed to our reality today.
Right.
But the moment I did it, the real thing that I don't feel right now or see is what will give me the support.
Yes.
And that's called above reason.
Yes.
And is there something that I can make this leap with, or maybe I'll ask it differently. How does the person make that leap? What is that leap?
He wants to rise in perception of reality above his degree. Again,
importance disappears. Yes, all that we learn, everything we read, all the writings.
Yes.
So there's a state where without that, a person still says, that's something that's happening in me. All that I think, that's not really a reality. It's me. It's what happened in me. And tomorrow something new will happen to me. So don't disconnect. And there's a state where a person says, that's it. I've changed my mind. All that I thought is wrong. I'm going in another direction and leaves, disconnects.
Yes.
I'm asking, in that state, is there something that a person can do for him not to reach that? So he will always remain somewhat connected, or
it's a sign that he doesn't want to detach from the previous state. Right?
He says that he doesn't want to disconnect from the path altogether.
Yes. And what do you recommend?
I'm asking, I'm not recommending.
The person needs to yearn to detach from all kinds of knowledge and directions that he used to go on, and to go according to the new means, to be only dependent and grasping onto the Creator. And nothing is important to him other than that. What happens to him in the next moment, he doesn't want to think about that.
But it seems like in order to be in that state always, that no matter what happens, with whatever comes to him, that he needs some kind of protection from above.
He doesn't think about that. He doesn't place conditions for the Creator to hold on to him.
Is that not something he can ask for?
No, why? He needs the opposite, to be completely independent from everything. Attachment.
What does it bring him back? What does it mean that it's bringing him back?
Really, the person is always in some process where the Creator's power operates on him. That is all.
So what does he do? He forgot. He doesn't remember anything from the morning lesson now.
So he's dead. So what?
So what brings him back to life?
The Creator too, so that he's not dead.
So does the person wait for the Creator to bring him back to life, or
perhaps he doesn't wait? No, perhaps he's dead so much so that he knows that he's dead and he cannot help himself, and he needs to, in order to reach the revival of the dead, it's only thanks to the Creator.
So what does depend on a person?
To strengthen in what is capable of being a part of society, that is dependent on society. He folds into society like a dead body, and the friends help him. That is all. There is all kinds of things here. People need to go through these states. The main thing is to accelerate, to be as connected as possible to the friends, and then that will bring him more quickly to the correct path. That is all.
Is there
a stage where you share about the faith and you know they will believe you, or?
You need to be equipped. Like Moshe, like Moses. What does it mean that is in your hands?
So where does he bring the force of doing this if he's certain that they won't believe him?
No, that is certain that they won't believe him is correct according to his state and according to their state. But that he can turn to the Creator and show him the deficiency that he doesn't have, that he wants to perform the action, but is incapable. So the Creator gives him the force of the serpent and the force of the rod.
So the first to go, even though they won't believe him, where does he bring that from? That ability to even approach and tell them about faith, where he sees that it's kind of like a lost thing.
That is in connection with the Creator. Moses, in any case, is connected to him.
That's the need of Moses, or?
That is the need of the public.
So the collective makes him into Moses.
Yes.
So why, to begin with, is he in doubt that they won't believe him if it's a need that comes from them altogether, that they need this faith?
He needs them to believe them, him, otherwise they won't follow him.
The faith that the collective needs, that he writes about here, he writes that it's all a matter of above in importance, and then they emerge out of the exile. Is faith a matter of importance?
Faith is a matter of importance.
The bestowal becomes more important than receiving?
That is called that he acquires it.
So what are vessels of bestowal?
Vessels of bestowal are desires in which he can bestow above logic.
But why is this expressed through importance? It seems like, oh, if it's important to you, then that's a
But how should it be expressed? Only in that. What do we have a game in? What's more important? One is more important than another, etc.
Because we learned that the vessels are the intentions that a person puts upon the desire. And here, suddenly, if there's importance, the importance of bestowal, then we come out of the exile.
Yes. He doesn't need anything else. If he has a greater importance of bestowal than his will to receive, he rises above the exile.
So what actually does Moses want to tell the people? Is he building in them importance for bestowal? Is that his role? Is that what he does?
Yes, he wants to explain to them that there is no greater force than bestowal.
And only importance, meaning only with importance. There's nothing else that a person attains. It's just important for you, and that's it.
That is all.
So where are the vessels here? Where is the vessel? Where's the vessel of bestowal? If everything is bottom line, that it needs to be important.
So we need to read the whole article again. And put the mic close to your mouth and speak concisely and clearly. Palasalam's article, The Freedom section, criticism brings success, lack of criticism causes decadence. We must further add that reality presents to our eyes extreme oppositeness between physical matters and concepts and ideas regarding the above topic. For the matter of social unity, which can be the source of every joy and success, applies particularly to bodies and bodily matters in people, and the separation between them is the source of every calamity and misfortune. But with concepts and ideas, it is the complete opposite. Unity and lack of criticism are deemed the source of every failure and hindrance to all the progress and intellectual fertilization. This is because drawing the right conclusions depends particularly on increasing disagreements and separation between views. The more contradictions there are between views, and the more criticism there is, the more the knowledge and wisdom increase, and matters become more suitable for examination and clarification. The degeneration and failure of intelligence stem only from the lack of criticism and disagreement. Thus, evidently, the whole basis of physical success is the measure of unity of the society. And the basis for the success of intelligence and knowledge is the separation and disagreement among them. It turns out that when humankind achieves its goal, with respect to the success of the bodies, by bringing them to the degree of complete love of others, all the bodies in the world will unite into a single body and a single heart, as written in the article, The Peace. Only then will all the happiness intended for humanity become revealed in all its glory. But against that, we must be watchful not to bring the views of people so close that disagreement and criticism among the wise and scholarly might be terminated. For the love of the body naturally brings with it proximity of views. And should criticism and disagreement vanish, all progress in concepts and ideas will cease as well. And the source of knowledge in the world will dry out. This is the proof of the obligation to caution with the freedom of the individual regarding concepts and ideas. For the whole development of the wisdom and knowledge is based on that freedom of the individual. Thus, we are cautioned to preserve it very carefully, in a manner that each and every form within us, which we call individual, that is, the particular force of a single person, generally named the will to receive. In society, even in our society, what things should we be hold on to which we are of unity, and what things are good and that are in disagreement and separation?
Well, there are rules upon which there doesn't need to be a dispute about, like the purpose of the society and all the means to attain them. This is something we need to learn and accept, since in a clear manner the Kabbalists bring this to us this way. And only what we, in what way we connect between us, that we come closer to our purpose, this is where the dispute can happen.
What can there be a disagreement? Also, Kabbalists determine that.
Yes, but here it's already
yes.
We have it where each can be in his opinion.
And that each one is in his own opinion, so what is the correct work here?
No, atem tagidole.
Well, you guys tell me.
Is there room for disagreement, or is there no room for disagreement? We say that there is annulment, and I need to annul my opinion, so where is the disagreement?
Yes.
So where is the disagreement? Meaning I need to annul my disagreement that is inside me and accept the opinion of the society over me, that the opinion of the society, that's the opinion of the Kabbalists.
Yeah.
So where does this disagreement become expressed? On what?
I don't understand.
What should we disagree with in the 10, in the society?
You start asking, and you'll see how many different opinions you have here.
Okay, that each one has opinions, but in the end there is this higher goal. So the disagreements become cancelled. So where does it come into realization?
Where do we gain by the dispute, you're asking?
Yes.
When each one subjugates himself towards the opinion of society, by that each one succeeds in advancing.
Is we're willing to kill one another.
That's why we have to say thank you very much to all of our haters, that they are working on us in a way that it's
compelling us to be in some kind of connection between us, otherwise they'll devour us.
What's the alternative? How do we overcome this dispute without the enemies so we don't need them?
When we, on the opposite, will understand that this dispute came to lift us.
And then lift us into what?
Lift us above the dispute. That there's something above the dispute. That all in all, the dispute is a result. That in us there is an upper force, and it increases each one compared to the friend in the height of his evil inclination, which the Creator created.
Yes, but the thing is that in corporeality you have to decide one way or the other, you have to make a decision. Either everyone gets drafted to the army or they're not. So I can't remain with my ideological opinion, say that we don't need to get drafted and then do get drafted, or to agree that I go to the army and he doesn't. Because it's translated into material actions, it doesn't remain out there so that each one will do whatever he wants. How can there be a solution? Okay, so we're in a family, I love everyone, but still, everyone does opposite things.
I guess we need to reach the equal in between, and then to understand that the dispute is only came to awaken us, to raise us to a degree that even though we're still in a dispute, we're also in connection. Because of the dispute.
So we have to agree that this dispute will remain forever?
Yeah.
And above it we build something?
Yes. You see, it doesn't give us a solution to the dispute.
The
contradictions in us will remain, and we will be contradicting even more and more. Till Gemar Tikkun, till the end of correction. And in the end of correction, we'll be in a height of a dispute, horrible. But along with that, we'll also be in connection between us. The edges will unite, the ends.
What's
the difference between disagreement and dispute?
Disagreement is a dispute that hasn't ended.
Because what I hear from you is that if we scrutinize things between us, we will come to some agreement in the end. It's not really a dispute that will remain in. We just didn't understand each other properly.
Yeah, maybe.
So what is a dispute? Bala Salam is talking about a dispute. What is it? Something that can't be resolved. So what is it?
So just like Mushi said, like, yeah, between right and left in the country.
And in our society, in the country, it's easier to see it, and it's a lot more complicated to solve. The 10 is closer to us. We're also a small country.
Yeah.
So, where is the dispute revealed between us? How is it expressed? Or maybe we're far from it. Maybe we're too small for disputes still.
We don't awaken a dispute between us.
Because we haven't come to it, because we don't know yet how to awaken disputes.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to it yet. We haven't reached the point where we can act or play in disputes and connection.
And what will be the dispute between us over what?
I don't know. I do not know in what we could have a dispute between us. But it can be from anything.
למה? מה זה כל דבר?
Vlad have pizza?
What is anything? Vlad like pizza, but Ilan likes shawarma. Where is the dispute? What we read? In the end, I've no problem making concessions, okay. But it's not...
Tof.
Okay, let's ask.
Mali.
What, Mali?
מתואר מחלוקת לשם שמיים של
describes dispute between the house of Shammai and the house of Hillel, which are also like right and left. And I see that in Etzen, if we encounter a serious problem, there are two approaches. One says to embrace the friend, that's from the right side, or let's tell him his mistake. Like the judgments of the ten from the left. I wanted to connect it to what we learned before when Akoka asked about Moses who came to the ten and says, the Creator sent me. So the Creator tells him, he tells the Creator, they won't listen to me. So what does it mean, tell them that the Creator sent me? What is the force of Moses that elevates us above disputes that seem like the two sides are right. One friend says, I agree with him. I agree with him. I see truth in this approach and in that approach. Another says, I disagree with both. What is the force of Moses that uses the dispute for the sake of the Creator?
That's something we have to scrutinize and feel, and then we can reveal it to everyone.
Disputes is something beneficial, instrumental, and how do we build it?
If we understand that, the dispute is for our best, so we don't resist it, on the contrary, we open it up, and through it, we discover our correct relationships.
מ-Women PT 23, על מה צריכים...
From Women PT 23, what should we relinquish with when there is a dispute?
Relinquish?
Cancel in a dispute.
Cancel or annul each one himself. That's it.
From Women Hebrew 1, Bala Sulam says that when views are different, people feel far from each other.
Yes.
So the emotional remoteness is natural when the views are apart. How do we overcome this remoteness?
I think... upon remoteness we can overcome only if we work in love. On the other end.
From Spain 1. If we haven't reached a dispute, is it because we haven't reached love?
Of course. Hatred, love, dispute, peace. It's all things that we must go through.
Can there be dispute within a person and the prayer is from there?
Of course.
So what is the solution to a dispute within a person? How does he do it?
Let him reveal the true cause, and then he can see what to correct.
The real root of what?
Of the dispute.
But why does this dispute even exist? What does it give? So you find the root and correct, but what's the purpose of it?
Connection. All disputes are distancing from connection. That's it.
But it's the Creator pushing away from connection.
Of course it was Him.
So the purpose of the dispute is to detect, identify how to choose the Creator.
Where is that action of the Creator that causes all the problems between us?
But a person can't rise above his own shell. He has to have the friends who lift him out of the dispute.
Right, that's why the Creator is awakening the dispute,
which awakens the need to get help. Can it be said that the dispute is in the body and in the head? There is no dispute?
What do you mean? I don't know.
In a spiritual parzuf, where is the dispute? In the goof or in the rosh?
Usually, well, let's say in the goof.
So it turns out that if we work on the Rosh, if we understand that, as we learned about Abraham, who said, how will I know that I will inherit it, that the Creator increases the desire, so we would raise the Rosh to a higher level, advance toward the Creator. So basically, there is a use here of the dispute for the sake of the Creator.
Yeah.
So the Roshim, the heads, will always be divided, will not have a division, but the bodies.
Да, дорограф, вот вы говорили, что надо пробуждать разногласия.
You said that we have to awaken a dispute. How to awaken disputes in the tent?
Разногласия в десятке мы должны пробуждать.
We need to awaken disputes in the ten.
Они давали нам силу для того, чтобы двинуться вперед.
So they will give us strength to move forward.
Выше знания.
To overcome them above.
Today, we have an important scrutiny in the 10 on a dispute we have between us. And it's clear that first we have to increase love between us. So how to do it correctly? How to create that love before the scrutiny?
First, you have an assembly of friends until we come to scrutinize the love between us, the connection between us, the purpose of the world, the purpose of life. And then we, after we've come to that, we scrutinize. After we've connected around it, then we scrutinize the problems that we are facing. Women have won.
Thank you. A true dispute for the sake of heavens, what do they actually scrutinize in it? The forces of the Creator, the bestowing of the Creator?
What we need to reconcile between us in order to come closer.